Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Well, happy, Thursday today. Lots going on since we were last in the studio. Of course, Minneapolis has seen its protests. The protests continue to happen. And really, no more violence, nothing major since the shooting yesterday, but it has been really quite something to watch coverage of yesterday's events where we saw that this had happened. We predicted what Mayor Fry was going to do and say, not necessarily just him, but like, what are the sides going to say? And right on cue, he comes out, but maybe with a little more aggression and fervor than I really thought that that message would be delivered with. Like, usually there's kind of a wink and a nod, like, hey, if you're upset about this, time to get out there in the streets. When you have the mayor of Minneapolis come out and say that what ICE is doing is BS and that he wants ICE to get the F out of Minneapolis, there you don't even have to read between the lines to see exactly what the people like Mayor Fry are trying to spurn in the coming hours and days. Now, I don't know how much you see something like this going and you like want to consume all of it. Are you in a position where, you know, oh, there's a riot. Is this, you know, made for you television? We've gone through this. We kind of started it here in our backyard with Ferguson. Do you remember 2014? Ferguson is on fire after Michael Brown's death. And all the narratives, they get spun out so incredibly quickly. And they're, in a lot of cases, intentional, deceitful lies that shape an issue. And then the literal fires are stoked. That's what happened in Ferguson, and the cameras could not get enough of it. The problem is that the more the cameras can't get enough of it, the more people want to find those cameras to be a part of it. So last night I was got home from my son's basketball game and turned on the news, and Fox News was coverage wall to wall about California fires. Did you know that? Yesterday, Ryan, was the year anniversary of the devastating fires.
Oh, they were doing coverage of the anniversary of it. Okay.
It was clear that they had this pre-planned because John Roberts was live out in the Palisades. Okay. Kennedy, who has a house that is still nothing, was out there in like a sweatshirt and her glasses, but a ponytail, like being a person in the streets talking about the fire and what has transpired since then. There, you could tell there was a lot of production effort that was made in planning to bring that story to the forefront of everybody's minds because it was a year. And I turned on the news specifically to see, like, I wonder if Minneapolis is burning to the ground right now. I turned on the news expecting to see that. And Fox News was maybe touching in and out of it. I think Paul Morrow, I mean, what a busy guy. We're like, hey, can Paul come on the Annie Fry show? And they're like, no. he's a super busy guy right now, which we respect. And we'll get him on here as soon as we can, which is the nice thing about being a Fox News radio affiliate here in St. Louis. Love having that partnership. But I thought, well, that's kind of interesting that you'd be talking so much and featuring so much the Palisades fire when, you know, the news dictates that we should be live on the ground with the you know, mostly peaceful protests, live chyrons while the buildings behind you are burning. Isn't that the wash, rinse, repeat of news coverage right now? And nope, Fox wasn't there. So I assume that there was planning and production that went into being at a certain place at a certain time to acknowledge the year after these fires ravaged California and all of the political fallout and tragic loss of life. Loss of property, loss of homes, everything that went into that. That is a story that absolutely deserved to be covered. Switch over to CNN. I said to my husband, because he was watching TV and I was doing some work at the counter, I said, hey, can you put on CNN real quick? And he's like, yeah, sure. So I go, I want to see if they're covering the protest. Sure as sugar. There they are, covering the protest. They're doing the thing. This is the playbook. We've got an officer involved shooting at a protest. Everybody get your playbook. Get to your places. Here we go. Tim Pawlenty is being interviewed by the CNN reporter on the ground. I failed to know her name. My apologies. Tim Pawlenty's a Republican, and he was doing a good job of answering her questions. All of her questions were trying to lead him into disparaging ICE and blaming Trump. And he wasn't doing it. And the way Tim Pawlenty was responding in that moment was not a rah, rah, I'm for the other side. He was actually responding as the person who had served as governor there. He was actually responding the way you would like to see somebody who represented actual people, like serve the people, in his responses. But here's what blew my mind. The little thing that identified who Tim Pawlenty was on CNN. CNN, live from Minneapolis, Tim Pawlenty, governor, former governor of Minneapolis. Folks, it's Minnesota.
I was going to say, did you misspeak just now?
No! The CNN had Tim Pawlenty. I put a screenshot up of it, I think, on Twitter. I have a picture of it. They said Tim Pawlenty, former governor of Minneapolis, for the interview. How does somebody not go, who the hell put that up there? It's Minnesota, you doofuses. It never changed. You know, every time you have somebody up there and they're on there for a longer form interview or whatever, it'll say, this is who's talking. And then he says something that's quotable. And so then the quotable thing comes up as the summation of where we are in the interview. And then maybe here's the setting and why we're here. And then it comes back up to, this is who you're talking to. And you just know that the next time it comes up that they're going to realize that Minneapolis, in fact, doesn't and didn't have a governor.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of struck me as a joke to have CNN working really hard to steer the story in a specific direction and to not even be able to get that basic fact right. At CNN, there got to be enough people who are looking at that screen in the control room to be like, hey, we got a problem. Switch it. Let's fix it. But it was particularly frustrating and predictable. And this is, I think it's important to peek into what your opponents might be having to do or say or whatever. I find it refreshing that Tim Pawlenty was their guest and frustrating that they had both perspectives presented there. One was the former Republican governor of Minnesota and the other was the CNN reporter. Shouldn't there be, like, maybe reporter live from the scene, this is what we're seeing right now, back to you in the studio, Skippy, and then Skippy moderates between a left and a right. Or if it's an opinion talk show and it's Jesse Waters or Rachel Maddow, I mean, they have a show, they're being paid for their opinion, and you tune in because you want to hear their opinion, because you love everything they say or you love to hate everything they say. Watching Tim Walz speak on this issue, they are politicizing this entire experience, and they politicized it before yesterday's shooting happened. It's important and worthy for you to know the name Renee Nicole Good. That's who was shot yesterday. Renee Nicole Good lost her life yesterday in Minneapolis because she engaged in a protest that didn't just happen. Remember when I asked you yesterday on the air, Ryan, like, let's wait and see what the facts are. Was she part of a peaceful protest 4 hours ago, and then she had to go pick up some groceries for her kiddo, and she was home from the grocery store, and she just got in the wrong place at the wrong time, and ICE just popped her? We don't know yet, so we don't know that's not what happened. But now we understand that she all morning was part of these protests, actively using her vehicle to maneuver people in traffic and putting herself in a position where something like this could happen. The United States, Americans do not have the appetite in 2026 for keeping their mouth shut when the details, the visuals, the video evidence that we see right now and what took place yesterday, we do not have the appetite in this country anymore to sit down and shut up until someone tells us what we're going to say and think about this. We're not doing that anymore. I say Renee Nicole Good's name because she was a human being. She was somebody's mother. She was somebody's wife. She showed up there for a purpose that, up to a certain point, she was exercising the same First Amendment, the amendment that I'm exercising right now, and that I want you to be able to exercise right then. But we have to understand that there are barriers that cannot be crossed when it comes to the presence of law enforcement under the authority of the laws that are in place, that are put into place by the people who we elect to create them. That we have to trust in a system of law and order. There has to be order. And the people who have to maintain order are those elected officials to serve the people who elected them and the enforcement officers that risk their lives to ensure that when it gets out of order, it will get put back in order. And in Minneapolis right now, we have a situation where the elected officials, the mayor of Minneapolis and the governor of Minnesota, are using this opportunity to never let a good crisis go to waste. Once again, we're seeing this play out. The words, the emotion that is being thrust onto the people is not one that looks to establish order. That says, everyone calm down, let's get to the bottom of the truth. That's not what's happening right now. And we've seen this before. It's intentional. And regardless of what Renee Nicole Good stood for in life, her life wasn't worth losing in a moment like what took place yesterday, where people in elected positions are actively advocating for ICE to get the F out of Minneapolis. That's what they're saying. The elected officials are saying that. What does that do to people who are on the street? It is insightful. And it causes chaos. It is the opposite of order. How many dollars did the Democrat Party make off of the death of George Floyd? How many dollars did Black Lives Matter steal in the death of George Floyd? Is this a lucrative position for Democrats? And is there anything that Minnesota would like you to pay attention to instead of what had been going on in the news before yesterday? Is there a reason why these people would benefit from not stoking the flames, but setting them? Because right now what you're seeing in Minnesota, we've been here before, we know how this goes, and I don't believe that Americans are afraid to disagree with the forceful narrative that's going to be shoved down our throats when we can see with our eyes what happened. We understand the words, the context of what led up to this moment. And I am looking to the people who are trying to establish order. And those people are not running Minneapolis. And those people are not running Minnesota. The faster these people rage bait people into saying this is all about racism, the closer you know that they know they're cooked. They know that they are over a very serious situation in Minnesota. The fraud allegations, the corruption that exists. There are a lot of people who have known where the skeletons in the closet have been for quite some time because some of those people put those skeletons there. Don't get distracted, but also don't be the type of person who doesn't remember that Renee Nicole Good was a soul. She was a person who is not with us anymore because we have people actively stoking disorder and chaos, and it's got to stop. Back the blue. Back your law enforcement officers. Understand they are under immense pressure. Wait for the facts and judge every circumstance based on the facts of that particular instance. I think that's where America is right now. And it's good to be back. Let's take a break. When we come back, Hans von Spakovsky is going to join us. And he is going to talk to us about the authority that different law enforcement entities have in a situation like what's going on in Minneapolis. You've got local law enforcement, you've got federal law enforcement, immigration enforcement, all these people coming together. And then we heard yesterday from Governor Tim Walz that he would use the National Guard. And he's like, and they work for us. They're part of us. What the heck does that mean? That's why we talked to Hans. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more. To be alive right about
now. We have soldiers in training and prepared to be deployed if necessary. I remind you, a warning order is a heads up for folks. And these National Guard troops are our National Guard troops. They're teachers in your community. They're business owners. They're construction professionals. They are Minnesotans. Minnesota will not allow our community to be used as a prop in a national political fight. We will not take the bait. We will continue to update you, Minnesota, as we get more information. Now I'd like to turn it over to Commissioner.
We the people of the United States.
More perfect.
In order to form of our perfect union.
National legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Oh, Hans, it's so great to have your voice on the show today. Happy New Year to you. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks, and same to you.
Well, thank you very much. There's a question that I have. I think a lot of Americans have it right now because the lines seem to have been blurred. Watching Minneapolis in a situation where a lot of us are braced for what we anticipate could potentially, you know, build up out of the ICE-involved shooting of the protester yesterday. We hear the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, there talking about throwing the National Guard into the mix. We've got federal ICE agents there. We have local law enforcement, which my understanding is was told to stay out of it. Do not get involved in stopping these protests and helping the ICE officers there in Minneapolis. Can you talk to us about the law enforcement entities present in this situation and who has authority over whom?
Well, the most important thing for people to understand is that the state government has no authority over federal officers. If they are carrying out their duties under federal law, then the states can't interfere with that. And in fact, there's a very well-known Supreme Court decision from the late 1800s out of California in which the state tried to prosecute a U.S. Marshal for shooting someone who was attempting to actually to shoot a U.S. Supreme Court justice.
Ugh.
And the Supreme Court laid down the rule and said state governments cannot interfere with federal law enforcement if they are carrying out their duty. So any attempt by the state government there to try to criminally prosecute that ICE agent who was involved in that shooting is going to fail in the court. And moreover, state governments cannot lay out requirements and conditions for federal agents. You may have seen that California, for example, like a number of states, passed a law prohibiting federal agents from wearing masks or doing anything like that. Those laws are void. They cannot do that. So that's basically the situation there. The one thing I would tell folks is don't jump to conclusions about what happened until this has been thoroughly investigated and all the facts have been looked at, all the videos have been looked at. That's the most important thing in any kind of incident like this.
Yeah, the rush to judgment is it's so we can. I did this yesterday on the air, and it was unfortunately fortuitous that I was so spot on with my prediction as to how, before we knew any details, the only report that was out there was that an officer was involved in shooting a protester, and I go, well, we know how this is going to go. The left is going to say ICE murdered the protester. And then the right is going to say that there was, an attempt on an ICE agent and they were defending themselves. Like, that's the bare bones of what is going to politically come out of this. And then Mayor Fry, Jacob Fry, goes out there and he threw a blowtorch into a gasoline tank there. It was wild to hear him come out and use profanity. They tell ICE to get the F out of Minneapolis. I mean, does the mayor... Is this all standing on ceremony? Does he have any right to tell ICE to get the F out?
No, he does not. And in fact, the last time state and local authorities were doing that, as you know, was during the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s. And so this mayor is basically showing the same kind of defiance to the federal government that the segregationists and racists of the South were. Now, here's the other thing for people to understand. That attitude of local mayors, of the governor, telling local law enforcement not to protect ICE agents, not to get involved when there are these kind of protests, they are the ones who are basically helping lead to these kind of situations.
Yeah.
Because all these protesters, these agitators, these people who want to obstruct immigration enforcement, they know they are not going to get arrested by local cops. So they organize this. They go do it. They wouldn't be doing that if they knew that they were going to be prevented from doing it and prosecuted by local authority. So it's the mayors and the governors who are encouraging this kind of behavior and these kind of incidents.
Hans von Spakovsky speaking with us, a national legal expert who we rely on wonderfully, former FEC commissioner and former DOJ lawyer as well. Is there a scenario? I mean, I would hope our system wouldn't be set up to allow for something like this to happen. But is there a scenario where we're going to have law enforcement officers, local, state, federal, whatever it is, law enforcement officers in the streets of Minneapolis with orders that conflict with one another across law enforcement entity?
Look, that could happen, but I have no doubt that the sympathy of local law enforcement, including in places like Minneapolis, is entirely with the ICE agents. They know that these ICE agents are following orders. They're doing their jobs. And I got to tell you, I think if a local chief of police ordered his officers to try to interfere with and obstruct federal agents, I don't think they would obey that order because they would know it was an illegal, unlawful order.
Maybe that's what Senator Mark Kelly and the Seditious Six were talking about. Because it kind of feels like that's where we're headed with this, with what we hear Governor Wallace, just kind of the way, the candor with which they're discussing what ICE is doing there. They're telling them they need to leave. Is there anything about what ICE is doing in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, Hans, that you think is maybe skirting the very edge of the law? Maybe the Trump administration, the DOJ, the Department of Homeland Security, maybe they're getting pretty close to crossing the line here with what law enforcement looks like. You see any of that happening in Minneapolis with ICE?
No, I don't. If, for example, there is an outstanding deportation order issued by an immigration judge on an alien, they can be stopped and picked up anywhere. They have no right to object to that. The ICE agents are acting entirely within the law. Second, the Supreme Court has specifically said that if an ICE agent sees someone on the streets and has a reasonable suspicion that they may be an alien who's illegally in the country, they have a right to briefly stop them and ask them questions to try to determine whether that reasonable suspicion is correct. There is nothing illegal about them doing that as long as they stay within those grounds, even if it turns out their suspicion was wrong and the person is a U.S. citizen. Again, the Supreme Court's already looked at this issue in prior cases.
Yeah. Well, Hans, I appreciate the perspective so much on this, because I think there's going to be a lot. It's always the framing when politicians put this out there, the framing of what they're saying to try to, you know, spin the truth to affirm their perspective, generally speaking, what provides them more access to power. We've got to be very diligent, and I default to supporting my law enforcement in incredible gratitude of the risk that they take each and every day. So we appreciate your legal expertise on this issue. We look forward to having you back again soon. Of course, the Supreme Court's going to be hopping in 2026, and you are our guy, Hans von Spakovsky. Always great to have you here.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. I want to take a quick break, because when we come back, Carolyn Leavitt is addressing the press corps, and J.D. Vance is going to be speaking here very shortly as well. And we will cover that on the Annie Fry Show as it is happening live. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Carolyn Leavitt and J.D. Vance from the press room next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Carolyn Leavitt is addressing the press room right now with a statement regarding the Minneapolis shooting, and then Vice President J.D. Vance is going to come to the podium. Let's listen in.
Administration stand fully behind the heroic men and women of ICE and will always uphold law and order in the United States of America. The deadly incident that took place in Minnesota yesterday occurred as a result of a larger, sinister left-wing movement that has spread across our country, where our brave men and women of federal law enforcement are under organized attack. Right now, Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers are facing a 1,200% increase in assaults, a 3,200% increase in vehicle rammings, and an 8,000% increase in death threats. ICE agents are faithfully enforcing federal law to protect the safety of the American people by removing criminal illegal aliens from our country, which is exactly what nearly 80 million Americans elected President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance to do. Radicals in the Democrat Party are furious over this. They don't want our border secured or criminal illegal aliens being removed. As a result, Democrats are impeding immigration enforcement operations daily, creating extremely heightened and dangerous circumstances that make it nearly impossible for the men and women of law enforcement to simply do their jobs. Democrats are calling to defund federal law enforcement agencies who are protecting public safety, and Democrats are calling to abolish ICE and defund the police. That will never be allowed to happen under this president and vice president. The Trump administration will redouble our efforts to get the worst of the worst, criminal, illegal alien, killers, rapists, and pedophiles off of American streets. The Department of Homeland Security will continue to operate on the ground in Minnesota, not only to remove criminal, illegal aliens, but also to continue conducting door-to-door investigations of the rampant fraud that has taken place in the state under the failed and corrupt leadership of Democrat Governor Tim Walz. Taxpayers have been ripped off to the tune of billions of dollars in this one state alone, and that is going to end, and people are going to be held accountable. The Trump administration has activated thousands of federal agents, doubled the number of U.S. attorneys in the DOJ office in Minneapolis, and surged resources to hold fraudsters accountable and demand justice for law-abiding American taxpayers and citizens across our country. And that's what brings the vice president out here with me today to discuss all the Trump administration is doing and to make an additional important announcement on this front. So please, Mr. Vice President, will be joining us now.
Guys. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Great. Well, good afternoon, everybody. And I want to echo some of what Carolyn said about what we're doing to combat the rampant fraud that exists in our immigration system, thanks to failed politicians and thanks to people who allowed the American taxpayer to be taken advantage of for far too long. I think it's important to understand why this matters to the American people. I am a father of three young kids, a lot of kids, a lot of people in my generation. What is that going on there? Is that normal? Okay. CNN installed this broken camera just to throw me off my game, but it's not going to work. So here's the simple fact here. If you're a young parent struggling to afford childcare in the United States of America, there are programs that we have to make it easier for your kids to get in daycare, for your kids to get in preschool. Those programs should go to American citizens, not be defrauded by Somali immigrants and others. Make it hard for you to get the access to the resources you need. But number two, making it easier for people who shouldn't even be in this country to fleece the United States and our taxpayers to begin with. We have actually activated a major interagency task force to make it possible to get to the heart of this fraud. We have Department of Agriculture resources that are focused on SNAP fraud so that people who need food benefits can get them, but illegal aliens and other fraudsters don't. We have over 1,500 subpoenas that the Department of Justice has issued to get to the heart of the fraud ring. We've done almost 100 indictments, mostly Somali immigrants, but also a few others. And of course, we're looking in with broad investigatory authority to a number of the instances of wrongdoing that we've seen in Minneapolis. But we also want to expand this. We know that the fraud isn't just happening in Minneapolis. It's also happening in states like Ohio. It's happening in states like California. And so what we're doing in order to help coordinate this remarkable interagency effort from the Trump administration, but also to make sure that we prosecute the bad guys and do it as swiftly and efficiently as possible, is we are creating a new assistant attorney general position who will have nationwide jurisdiction over the issue of fraud. Now, of course, that person's efforts will start and focus primarily in Minnesota, but it is going to be a nationwide effort because, unfortunately, the American people have been defrauded in a very nationwide way. I want to thank a couple of people for their cooperation, in particular Pam Bondi, our Attorney General. First of all, for getting a lot of resources to Minneapolis to start to investigate and prosecute this fraud, really at an industrial scale. We've never seen fraud like this in the history of our country. Pam has been doing a great job to get the resources there to uncover it. But importantly, creating a job like this often takes months, sometimes even longer. When we realized that we needed this Associate Attorney General position, Pam got this person up and running in about a week. We're going to make the nomination hopefully in the next few days. We'll obviously let you guys know who that is when we do it. I've talked to Senate Majority Leader John Thune, who has promised me swift confirmation for this official. But this is the person who is going to make sure that we stop defrauding the American people. Here's one final thing I'll say about this. I've heard a lot of people say that we need a special counsel to investigate fraud in the United States of America. I actually agree, and that's what this position does. It has all the benefits, all the resources, all the authority of a special counsel, but with two crucial differences. Number one, it will be run out of the White House under the supervision of me and the President of the United States. And number two, it's actually constitutionally legitimate. As you guys may know, the special counsel statute has some major constitutional questions. When we get the bad guys, we want to make sure we get them permanently and they don't have some legal technicality they can get out of, which is why we set it up as an associate attorney general. I'll take some questions, but I want to make just one final observation here. When I was actually walking out here, somebody sent me a photo of a CNN headline about what happened in Minneapolis. And this is the headline. I'm just going to read it. Outrage after ICE officer kills U.S. citizen in Minneapolis. Well, that's one way to put it, and that is the way that many people in the corporate media have put this attack over the last 24 hours. And I say attack very, very intentionally, because this was an attack on federal law enforcement. This was an attack on law and order. This was an attack on the American people. The way that the media, by and large, has reported this story has been an absolute disgrace, and it puts our law enforcement officers at risk every single day. What that headline leaves out is the fact that that very ICE officer nearly had his life ended, dragged by a car 6 months ago, 33 stitches in his leg. So you think maybe he's a little bit sensitive about somebody ramming him with an automobile? What that headline leaves out is that that woman was there to interfere with a legitimate law enforcement operation in the United States of America. What that headline leaves out is that that woman is part of a broader left-wing network to attack, to dox, to assault and to make it impossible for our ICE officers to do their job. If the media wants to tell the truth, they ought to tell the truth that a group of left-wing radicals have been working tirelessly, sometimes using domestic terror techniques, to try to make it impossible for the President of the United States to do what the American people elected him to do, which is enforce our immigration laws. The President stands with ICE. I stand with ICE. We stand with all of our law enforcement officers. And part of that is recognizing that you people in the media, not everybody in this room, but many people in this room, have been lying about this attack. She was trying to ram this guy with her car. He shot back. He defended himself. He's already been seriously wounded in law enforcement operations before. And everybody who's been repeating the lie that this is some innocent woman who was out for a drive in Minneapolis when a law enforcement officer shot at her, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Every single one of you. Questions?
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I wanted to read a quote from Tim Walz earlier today. He said, "When things looked bleak, it was Minnesota's first that held the line for the nation on July 3rd, 1863. And I think we may be in that moment now." Can you comment on his rhetoric and Mayor Jacob Frey and whether they want to see unrest in Minneapolis?
Well, that's very tough rhetoric from a guy who just quit because his fraudulent activities have been uncovered. Look, Tim Walz is a joke. His entire administration has been a joke. The idea that he's some sort of freedom fighter, he's not. He's a guy who has enabled fraud and maybe, in fact, has participated in fraud. That's what this new assistant attorney general position is going to find out. I don't care what Tim Walz says. I care about getting to the bottom of this fraud for the American people, and I care about enforcing the nation's immigration laws. That's what we're going to stay focused on.
A related question here. I mean, Democrats have accused ICE of murder. They've said they're targeting Americans. They told ICE to get the F out of Minnesota. This is going to stoke the fire against ICE agents. And you're talking about ICE agents right now and being concerned about them. What, if anything, is the administration going to do to make sure these folks are protected during these protests? But also, should DHS sort of revisit their procedures here? I mean, nobody wants to see an American killed. Are there changes that need to be made to make sure something like this doesn't happen again?
Look, first of all, of course, nobody wants an American citizen to be killed. This is absolutely a tragedy, but it's a tragedy of the making of the far left. They have radicalized a very small segment of the population, taught them that ICE agents are engaging in wide-scale violation of people's rights. What our ICE officers are doing is deporting the millions of criminal aliens that were let in during the Biden administration. So number one, we have to say, as a matter of leadership, and I would appreciate if the Democrats would join me on this, let's be honest about the fact that we have way too many illegal aliens in this country. Our ICE officers should be supported in doing their job. You're trying to actually marshal the far left lunatic fringe to engage in doxing, to try to make it impossible for them to enforce the law, and in some cases actually to engage in acts of domestic terrorism against our law enforcement officers. When you talk about different plans, different protocols, different policies, I forget exactly how you asked the question. Here's the simple fact. What we're going to do is make it easier for the American People's Administration to enforce the American people's law. And that means that Democrats have to stop rallying the mob against legitimate law enforcement operations. And that means that we are going to get tougher, and that's what this AAG position is about. We're going to get tougher at the people who are defrauding the United States by inciting violence against our law enforcement officers. That's one of the things that we're going to do. We've already started that work at the Department of Justice, but we're going to keep on doing it, and this new AAG position is going to kick that into high gear.
Vice President Vance, you just suggested that this woman who was killed, Brene Good, is part of a broader left-wing network. Who do you think is behind this broader left-wing network?
Well, it's one of the things we're going to have to figure out. But here's the way that I put it. When somebody throws a brick at an ICE agent, or somebody tries to run over an ICE agent, who paid for the brick? And who told protesters to show up and engage in violent activity against our law enforcement officers? You see, just with this most recent terrible incident in Minneapolis, you see friends of this woman's or other people who are eyewitnesses saying basically that she was there to engage in obstruction of a legitimate law enforcement operation. How did she get there? How did she learn about this? There's an entire network, and frankly, some of the media are participating in it, that is trying to incite violence against our law enforcement officers. It's ridiculous, it's preposterous, and part of our investigatory work is getting to the bottom of it. Who's funding it, who's supporting it, who's cheerleading it, and of course, if there's illegal activity related to that, we're going to get to the bottom of that and prosecute it where we can.
Mr. Vice President, thank you for taking questions today. Is there a risk with you describing her as a deranged leftist, talking about very specific facts of these events, when an investigation is just beginning, are you preempting a thorough investigation by drawing such conclusions? And have you received any information beyond the videos we've seen publicly about this individual, her specific acts, that has informed your point of view?
Well, first of all, the Department of Justice is going to investigate this. The Department of Homeland Security is already investigating this. But the simple fact is, what you see is what you get in this case. You have a woman who is trying to obstruct a legitimate law enforcement operation. Nobody debates that. You have a woman who aimed her car at a law enforcement officer and pressed on the accelerator. Nobody debates that. I can believe that her death is a tragedy while also recognizing that it's a tragedy of her own making and a tragedy of the far left who has marshaled an entire movement, a lunatic fringe, against our law enforcement officers. I think what is clearly happening here, and it's going to keep on happening unless the Democrats wake up and say, you know what, you don't have to agree with our immigration policies. You don't have to agree with what the president or the vice president believe about immigration enforcement. But why don't you take this to the ballot box? Why don't you vote? Why don't you organize? Instead, what some of them are doing is encouraging people to get violent with our law enforcement officials. It's disgraceful, and it's got to stop.
Just to follow up on that question, and again, thank you for taking questions, Mr. Vice President. There's clearly a lot of emotion in Minnesota, across the country, over this incident. You're calling Renee Good a deranged leftist. There's been heated rhetoric that we've also heard from officials. What responsibility do you and the president have to diffuse some of the tension that we are seeing play out in Minnesota, bring down the temperature as this investigation is unfolding?
What we have a responsibility to do is to protect the people who are enforcing the law and protect the country writ large. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, you deserve to have the people's laws enforced in the United States of America. Now, again, I'm not happy that this woman lost her life. I'm not happy that this woman was there at a protest violating the law by interfering with a law enforcement action. I think that we can all recognize that the best way to turn down the temperature is to tell people to take their concerns about immigration policy to the ballot box. Stop assaulting and stop inciting violence against our law enforcement officers. That's the best way to take down the temperature. And we're not going to give in to terrorism on this. And that's exactly what's happening. People trying to antagonize, to commit acts of violence. They throw bricks at them. Sometimes they shoot at them. Sometimes they dox them. Sometimes they go to their place of residence and harass their families. This is classic terrorism. And we cannot say that when a far left fringe is inciting violence against our brave law enforcement officials, that we're no longer going to enforce the law. That's rewarding the very people who are engaged in this garbage. The actual reward that they just got is a new assistant attorney general who is going to prosecute and investigate this stuff even more aggressively than before.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my question. So the head of Minnesota's investigations agency says that the U.S. Attorney's Office has essentially cut off the state investigations agency's access to the investigation. What is the precedent for that, and why shouldn't the Minnesota officials on the ground have access and evidence to work on this investigation?
First of all, I wish the state officials in Minnesota would investigate why you have so many people who are using their vehicles and other means to actually interfere with a legitimate law enforcement operation. The precedent here is very simple. You have a federal law enforcement official engaging in federal law enforcement action. That's a federal issue. That guy is protected by absolute immunity. He was doing his job. The idea that Tim Walz and a bunch of radicals in Minneapolis are going to go after and make this guy's life miserable because he was doing the job that he was asked to do is preposterous. The unprecedented thing is the idea that a local official can actually prosecute a federal official with absolute immunity. I've never seen anything like that. It would get tossed out by a judge. So what I'd like Minnesota to focus on is the real issue that they're encouraging people. Minneapolis officials are encouraging people to commit violence against ICE officials. It's ridiculous. It's got to stop.
Sir,
go ahead.
Mr. President, thank you. You said earlier that there's a left-wing network to attack, to dox, to assault, and make it impossible for ICE officers to do their job. You told my colleague just now that there's an investigation going on into that network.
Yep.
So if everything that you say is true, how does being part of that network justify being shot?
Well, being part of the network doesn't justify being shot, but ramming an ICE officer with your car, that's what justifies being shot. It's not a good thing, by the way, but when you force somebody to engage in self-defense, it's almost a preposterous question. I'm not saying that funding some of this stuff justifies capital punishment. Nobody would suggest that. The reason this woman is dead is because she tried to ram somebody with her car and that guy acted in self-defense. That is why she lost her life, and that is the tragedy. Now, there may be other violations of the law and other penalties that are associated with those violations of the law. For example, if you are funding violence against our law enforcement officers, I'm not a prosecutor. My guess is that's not the sort of thing that earns capital punishment, but it should sure as hell earn you a few years in prison if you're funding the effort to try to assault our law enforcement officers. I'm sorry, guys. What's going on here? You guys are meant to report the truth. How have you let yourself become agents of propaganda of a radical fringe that's making it harder for us to enforce our laws? You just asked me a question that presumed that the reason why this woman died is because she was engaged in legitimate protest. She tried to run somebody over with her car, and the guy defended himself when that happened. Next question.
The investigation is still ongoing.
I said next question.
Mr. Vice President, I mean, you presumably watched the video yourself. There's not the slightest doubt in your mind, having viewed it, that the victim, you still believe that she deliberately tried to ram him despite seeing this video.
Look, I don't know what is in a person's heart or in a person's head, and obviously we're not going to get the chance to ask this woman what was going on. What I am certain of is that she violated the law. What I am certain of is that that officer had every reason to think that he was under very serious threat for injury or in fact, his life. What I am certain of is that she accelerated in a way where she ran into the guy. I don't know what was in her heart and what was in her head, but I know that she violated the law, and I know that officer was acting in self-defense. It raises an interesting point, though. Look, if people want to say that we should have a legitimate debate about, you know, what was she really doing, right? Was she panicking when she drove into this officer, or was she actually trying to ram him? That's a reasonable conversation. What's not reasonable is for so many of you to plaster all over the media that this was an innocent woman and that the ICE agent committed murder, which is what many of you have said explicitly and some of you have said implicitly. That's what I have an objection to. The idea that this was not justified is absurd, and I think everybody knows it in their heart. Yeah.
Mr. Vice President, in the green jacket. Taking down the temperature, it seems like political violence is ratcheting up and riots could be around the corner. What steps does the administration have planned to try to unite America? Average people on both political sides are so tired of fighting with each other, and I think all the journalists in this room could agree with me that we don't want to be part of the problem. Do you have any words to unite America?
You know, I know you don't want to be a part of the problem, and I think that's true of a lot of you. I'm not sure it's true for everybody, because the reporting over this has been one of the biggest scandals I've ever seen in media. I've never seen a case so misrepresented and misreported when you have a guy who was defending himself and is now being treated as some sort of federal assassin by so many of the people in this room. First of all, let me say about crime. You mentioned violence. One of the things we're proudest about is that you saw violent crime over the last year drop by 20%. Why is that drop by 20%? Is it because we're attacking our law enforcement officers, or is it because we in the administration are empowering our law enforcement officers to enforce the law? I think that's one of the ways you take down the temperature, is you make people feel more secure and safe in their person and property. That's why we care so much about protecting our law enforcement, because it accrues to the benefit of the entire national community. I think that we can absolutely talk about the ways in which, you know, we can lower the temperature by discussing differences in a reasonable and rational way. Again, I'm happy to talk with any congressional Democrat or any of you about our immigration policy, about why I think it's necessary, about why I think it's in the best interest of the country, about why the President of the United States was elected to actually enforce the border for the first time in at least 4 years. So here's the problem. That's not the debate so many people are having. They are actively covering for people who are committing acts of violence against federal law enforcement. It is preposterous. The way to take down the temperature is to stop it. Have your debates about policy. Attack me. Attack the President of the United States. Don't attack our law enforcement officers. They are trying to do the job the American people demanded that they do. They are not policy actors. They are enforcing the law. They should be treated with a modicum of dignity and respect. And the fact that they're not is why incidents like yesterday happened. The one final point I'll make about this is, look, there's a part of me that feels very, very sad for this woman, not just because she lost her life, but because I think she is a victim of left-wing ideology. What young mother shows up and decides they're going to throw their car in front of ICE officers who are enforcing legitimate law? You've got to be a little brainwashed to get to that point to where you're willing not just to protest, that's fine, not peacefully protest, but throw your vehicle in front of legitimate law enforcement officers and drive your car into them. To get to that point, you have to be, I think, radicalized in a very, very sad way. I certainly wish that she hadn't got there. I know there's an ICE officer right now who very much wishes he was not put in the position where he had to fire a gun to defend his own life.
Vice President J.D. Vance from the White House press room. Right now, happy to be able to take that live for you so you can hear from the Trump administration themselves speaking in their own words. And boy, am I glad to hear an administration that is willing to back law enforcement with heart and humanity. Incredible to hear that right now. When we come back, Tony Pham is going to be with us. He's a former acting ICE director on the latest of what ICE is doing in Minneapolis. Don't go away. We'll be right back.